invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Brother Michael, you know you and I have talked about maybe you teaching one Wednesday night coming in and doing chapter 11 because it's the faith chapter. I'm going to tell you something, brother. This chapter right here, chapter 12, is pretty strong too. It's right strong. Amen. Especially when you get down to this 22nd verse. Praise God. You know what? If y'all will indulge me, I'm going to start at verse 12. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Usually I read a very short verse, but I just feel led to read this entire thing. Starting in Genesis 1. No, I'm kidding. beginning in verse 12, Hebrews 12 and 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby may many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. We preached on that a couple of weeks ago. For ye now know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, that he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mountain which is the mount which might be that might be touched in the burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. Talking about when the Spirit of God, when God Himself appeared unto the children of Israel, and they pled with Moses that God not appear to them anymore, just that He appeared to him by Himself. Because they could not withstand the glory of His presence. That's what that's talking about. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye, talking about us.
Yes, come on.
We haven't come unto that mountain that Moses
was on Mount Zion.
Or Mount Sinai. But ye are come to the mount, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Oh, my Lord, my God. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but heaven also. Hallelujah. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I read all the way to this verse to get to number 29.
Hallelujah.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Our God is a consuming fire. Holy Spirit, we pray you have your way in this church this morning. God, speak through this preacher. Lord, give me words that I know not, but Lord, words from heaven that might encourage them, that might lift up and might build up your holy people today. In the name of Jesus and all God's children, said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord. Just the other night, we had the opportunity to preach over at Solid Rock Holiness Church in Albany. Starting to say Columbus again. And we preached on the subject saying that we've forgotten who we are and whose we are. Coming from the subject that know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And all that that means. Just a few weeks back, you'll recall, we went through we talked about the Ark of the Covenant and each piece that how it and you know we didn't get real deep, but we just kind of talked about each of the things that were inside of the Ark, and we talked about the mercy seat and the glory of God that sat upon the mercy seat, that the God Himself, hallelujah, sat upon that mercy seat, and how that Aaron durst not enter therein one time a year, and he had to be right when he did it. He had to do things just the right way and just a certain way. We live in a society, we live in a world, and we live in a church. We're inside of a church that has forgotten how powerful and awesome our God is. Hallelujah. We serve a God that when He speaks, hallelujah, nations tremble. When He speaks, worlds are created. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't go through the details of all of it. Praise the Lord. It doesn't talk too much about the heaven. He talks a lot about the earth. In very intricate detail how God created the earth, and He created the beasts of the fields, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. And how that He reached down and he picked up a lump of clay and he created man in His own image, and hallelujah, and that He breathed into man the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. But the Bible says that God breathed, and he breathed out the stars of heaven.
Yes.
We have forgotten that our God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
He is an awesome God. He is a powerful God. And because, you know, Peter said it like this. He said, you know, let me just read it. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3, I think it is. Praise God. Yes. 2 Peter 3 and 9. But the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as as some men count slackness, but is, you know. We'll back up a few verses, because this is where we live. 2 Peter 2. And 3 it says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that's where we are. We are in the midst of a society, we are in the midst of a world, and we're even in the midst of a church. Yes. Praise God, that says this very thing. And that is why you don't hear sermons on the rapture anymore. You don't hear sermons on the coming of the Lord anymore. You don't hear sermons on the judgment of God anymore, that it's even at the door. It is because they have come to the place that said, you know, I've heard this all my life. I've heard it preached all my life. It's been said for generation upon generation, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But listen to what it says. Slip on down now. It says, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long suffering.
Yes.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Reason that the Lord, the hand of the judgment of God is stayed, is not because God has forgotten his judgment. It's not because he's forgotten to make things right, but it is because he is being patient, even with the homosexuals, even with the gay marriage, even with all of the stuff that's going on in the White House and in the Congress and throughout the land in California, and all of the sin that's going on not only in the United States, but's going on throughout the world. We shake our heads and we wonder, why, God, are you withholding your judgment because you've judged before? It is not because God has forgotten his holiness and his righteousness, but it is because he's being patient, because he's not willing that any should perish. I'm so glad, brother, that Jesus did not come in 1960. I'm glad he didn't come in 1972. I'm glad he didn't come, praise God, in 1980 even. Because I wouldn't have made it. I'd have had to go on through the tribulation. I wasn't ready. Some of you sitting here tonight, this morning, are probably glad of the same thing. You can remember a time in your life when you weren't exactly serving the Lord, when you were backslid or you were out in the world and you had forgotten God. Aren't you glad that God held on just a little while longer before he sent his son? Because once he sends his son, that's it, praise God.
Yes.
But hear what the Bible says. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come.
Yes. Yes, it will.
The day of the Lord will come. And our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
He is a powerful God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, it says this. I saw a white throne and him that sat up on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. He is so powerful. He is so ominous in his presence, in his majesty, in his glory, in his holiness, that when he sits upon the seat of judgment, the earth, not only the earth, but the heavens that we see, they will fly away, because the earth is aware of the wickedness that has been done in it. Praise God. The heavens know the wickedness that has been done in it, the words that have been spoken in it. It is aware that it is the holding place, if you would, for the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan and his demons and his minions that hover over the earth to influence wickedness and evil throughout. The heavens themselves are aware of the wickedness that's been done in it, though they were not participants, though they did not partake, it has been done in it. And when the holiness of God sits upon that throne of judgment, the earth and heavens will flee from his presence.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy verses 23 and 24, it says this: take heed unto yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And make you a graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Take heed unto ourselves. If we really believe that God is who he says he is, and we know that God is who he says he is, because listen to this preacher. Nothing that God has ever commanded in this world and in this creation has turned to the right nor to the left for thousands and thousands of years. When God commanded the sun to shine, the sun has shone and it has not stepped from its post. The earth has revolved at just the right distance, if you would, and just the right speed, and it has not turned to the right and it has not turned to the left. Why? Because God commanded it. Amen. The gravitational pull of the earth that keeps us on this planet, when God commanded it, it has stood still and it has obeyed the word of Almighty God, and it has not moved from the right nor to the left. The air that we breathe has not changed its constitution. It has not changed its mix up, its makeup. Even though mankind has cursed the God that provides it, even though man has cursed and mocked in the face of God, hallelujah to his name, the air we breathe has not changed. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He said unto Adam and Eve, he said, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you do, you shall die. And man has been dying ever since. My Lord, my God. You know, did you know that there is no scientific or anatomic reason that the human body is supposed to quit? Science has looked into this. There's no explanation for why the human body deteriorates and why it eventually dies. It is because of the curse of death. It is because of the curse of sin. Listen, when our God speaks, the eternity pays attention of eternity. Glory to God. It stands up. Hallelujah. Our God is not some lily pond God. He ain't some lily thing running around here that might can just be blown over at the whim. My Lord, he don't care what the atheist got to say. He don't care what the agnostic has to say. He's not worried about what the homosexuals got to say or the whole gay marriage that are shaking their fist and they have created themselves a new Bible. My Lord, my God, they don't even realize they have made a curse unto themselves because they have taken this word of the living God and changed it to get around their wickedness and to justify the thing that they are doing. My Bible tells me in Revelations not to change one dot or one cross T of the word of God. He said in the day that you do it, if you take away from the plagues, I'll take your part out of the book of life. If you add anything to it, I'll add the plagues thereon unto you. My Lord, my God, they don't realize what God ain't nervous. Brother Michael, God knew what was going to happen before it happened. And he ain't sitting up in heaven like we're doing, wringing his hands. His blood pressure hadn't gone up one bit. Hallelujah. He said, ain't time yet. It ain't time yet. He hadn't gotten not even the least bit disturbed. But when he stands up, the day is coming. Listen to what it says, Deuteronomy 23 and 24. Take heed unto yourselves. How we respond. Well, you know, we can't control the world. We cannot control the unbeliever. But we can control us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You see, we've got enough mud on the floor in the church that needs cleaning up. We're doing some things right here. We need to be taking heed unto ourselves. He didn't say, now you make sure them Gentiles take heed unto themselves, because they're not children of the covenant yet. You hear me? They are not yet children of the covenant, but we are children of the covenant. Each time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are reunited. We are reenacting that, if you would, identifying that covenant, amen, in our life. We say, Lord, you shed your blood for me. Your body was broken for me. And I receive the perpetuation of that blood. I receive the healing that came from the stripes upon your back. My Lord, my God, hallelujah. We are children of the covenant, and we ought to take heed unto ourselves. You see, we're busy taking heed on everybody else. We need to take heed to ourselves.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? He said, thou hypocrite, how seest thou to remove the speck from thy brother's eye when you got a mold in your own? How in the world can you see to get that speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye when you got a 2x6 up in your own eye? Go with it. Not a 2x4, a 2x6. And I'm afraid we got some 2x6s we need to get up out of the way before we start pointing the finger to the church, to the world. Because listen to this, preacher. Even though although the blood that was shed on Calvary's tree, it was shed for them, they have not applied it to themselves as of yet, because they have not accepted Jesus. But you and I, who are children of the covenant, we have accepted the perpetuation. We have come and said, Jesus, wash away my sins, wash me clean, write my name in the Lamb's book of life. We have become children of the covenant, glory to God. So we ought to take heed unto ourselves and be sure not to do that which God hath forbidden thee to do. Oh! Say, well, that's living by the law. No, that's just common sense. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Uh-oh. You see, that gets into where we're living at. What you got that's more important than Jesus? What's in your life that takes precedent over it? And you know, one of the things that really has captivated our generation? The easy chair. I'm tired. I'm too tired. Oh! And we'll sit there, watch the TV. And I understand, you know, because I do the same thing. We all do the same thing. We turn it on something. Half the time we're not even half listening to it. We just got it on for background noise, to go along with the snoring that's finna go on. Now, that's how it happens at the Good Bread House. I don't know how it happens at your house, but that's at my house. There's some snoring that's going on. But how many times has the phone rang and the invitation come, and it's on an inconvenient night, man? Oh, man. Man, I'm working, I don't know if I can do that or not. I was looking forward to just chilling tonight. And brother, I hate to. I'll stand up here and I'll admit it. I get them 4 o'clock wake ups too, to the restroom. But every once in a while, I'll get up and I'll be woke. You know, I'll be awake, awake. Not just, you know, there's half awake and there's awake. But every now and again, Brother Michael, I get awake. And I'm ashamed to say I don't take advantage of it like I ought to, because it's God telling me, get up, son. I want you to talk to me. Get up, son. I want to talk to you. I want you to pray. I want you to intercede. Hallelujah. Yes. We're not doing the things that we ought to do. And we're doing the things that we ought not do. And we're worried about the world, why the world's in the shape it's in. It's kind of like that flashlight you got at the house. It's in the bottom of your toolbox, or it's in the back of the truck. It's there. I know it's there, but when you get it out, for some reason it don't shine like it ought to. It's got the power in it. It's got the light bulb in it, but it's been sitting in the back of that truck. It done got dust on the lens, and the light just don't shine like it ought to. We need to get that thing out, and we need to clean it up. Hallelujah. We need to charge the battery. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, but I didn't want to mess with that flashlight today. I had a ball game to watch. What we need to do, we need to sanctify ourselves unto the Lord. We need to make the sacrifice. I'm going to God's house. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the face of God, because is God a liar? Is God a man that he should lie? And we wonder why. Oh, Lord, why don't you answer your prayer? Because we ain't praying. We're not seeking through. We're not pressing through. We're just making a request. We're not petitioning heaven. We're just making suggestions. Oh, God, would you think about it? Mister, you got to be desperate. One thing that's missing in the church, in Christian people, not the church, but Christian people, we ain't desperate for God anymore. We are not desperate. If it's the least bit inconvenient, if we have to put too much effort in it, why, we just don't want it. Amen. That bad. But mister, if you're like that woman with the issue of blood, you didn't care who you had to push through. You didn't care who you had to be rude to. She was made up her mind. She was going to get to Jesus. Didn't matter what anybody said. Didn't matter what anybody thought or how rude. She was getting to Jesus. Zacchaeus, glory to God. Little old short feller. Amen. Amen. Just like Brother Palm. Just about his height. He couldn't see up over them 6 foot folk. He wanted to see Jesus. He didn't have an elevator. He didn't have something to lift. So he saw him a tree. And he didn't care what nobody thought. Look at that crazy fool get up. What's wrong with him? Sister Mary, what? Look at that crazy man climbing up in the tree. He, that ain't dignified. His mama ought to raise him better than that. Huh? But he was desperate. He was desperate. He didn't want anything. He didn't want any miracle. He didn't need healing. He didn't need deliverance. He didn't think he needed deliverance. So he wasn't looking for it. But he wanted to see Jesus no matter what it took. Glory to God. He was desperate for the Lord. We ain't desperate no more. We're not hungry. And our God is a jealous God. Yes, he is. So, well, if you're not hungry, you see, you're going to hunger after something. You're going to worship something. You're going to follow after something. It's either going to be the things of God or the things of the world. Yes. The question then is, if we're not following hard after him, if we're not chasing hard after him and doing whatever it takes to get the muck out of the way, get the stuff out of the way, don't let me be early to church. I don't want to be late. I want to get a seat. I want to get up on the front row. I don't want to be down back there in the back. I want to be up there where the front, where the stuff going on, where the anointing is flowing. Amen. That's where I want to be. Glory to God. You know, hallelujah. But I just show up. Mark that up there, God. Mark
cutting your book, done you a favor today, showed up at church. Put that in your ledger. That's what we do. And I think God is sick of it.
Yes. Yes.
Who do we think we are? Think we're doing God a favor. God's jealous.
Yes, He is.
We spent more time watching soap operas than we have seeking Jesus.
Yes.
We spend more time watching Star Trek. Live long and prosper. Than we have seeking the Lord. And we think we spent more time on Facebook. Facebooking and twitting and tweeting and twatting and all of whatever else there is out there. Twalking, tweaking, squawking, I don't know all them words. I can't keep up. First it started with a mouse, you know, years ago. Huh? And we know more about what's going on the internet than we know about what's happening in God. What's God doing? What's God saying? And God says, I'm a jealous God. You don't see jealousy mess with that woman over there. Go on if you want to. You'll find Brother Goodbread come on. You'll see a different side, let me tell you. I'm always like, hey, bro, what's it doing? That's my woman over there. That's my wife. Talk to her if you want to. Huh? I know ain't no other men around here like that. See me after church, I'll tell you about the time I really did that. One of her clients come in there wanted to put up the shelf. Tried to tell her. Wanted her to come to the, I was away for two weeks. Well, won't you come to the dinner with me? Be my guest. Of course, she turned him down. You know, I tried to tell her, listen, that man up to no good. But out of respect of your business, I'm not going to interfere. But I saw yonder man. He come his little self over into Zaxby's one day. He sat down there. And it was funny. Sister Mary didn't. Glenn, hey, how you? He didn't say nothing. All of a sudden, he wasn't so friendly. I don't understand why he wasn't so friendly. I knew he wasn't up no good. So I was on the way out. I said, let's go talk to him. Let's go talk to the man. I want to meet the man. Brother, he was sitting there like you are. He was sitting at the table. She was standing, hi, you know. He was kind of looking down, and I stood right there. And back then, my belly was just a little bigger. I said, and he had that view. I said, my name's Robert. I'm her husband. The deep as I could get it. Let him know. Amen. Because I'm a jealous man. That's my woman. Don't mess with my baby. I spent the money, bought the ring, buying the clothes. I chased after her, my Lord. Took her to dinner. Took her to, you ain't done nothing. You better go home, boy. Amen. Amen. Jealous man. Blow up quick. Amen. But God's a jealous God.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You see, I wasn't mad with her because she didn't go chasing after him. She can't help that she's beautiful. She can't help that she's sweet. She's kind. That ring, Lord blessed her with me. Now he blessed me with her. But see, if Lynette would have been like we are, why, she said, honey, I'm going to go spend some time with that man. Because that's what we do on God. That's what we do on God.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to go over here and I'm going to spend time with the devil. Just a little bit. Just a little devil will be all right. Just a little world will be all right. Just a little of that won't hurt anything. Glory to God. I know you want me to come to dinner with you, Lord, but I really got another date that's more important. Oh, and God is a jealous God. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to come and be wholly devoted unto me. Because I married you. I sought you. I delivered you. I saved you. I'm the one spilled the blood. I'm the one sent my son. Glory to God. What you doing going off over there? You drive 12, 14 hours to get to the mountains, but won't come 10 minutes to get to church. Oh. My Lord, my God. Stay up all night around the campfire. Don't even look at the clock. God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And we need to check ourselves. We need to say, Lord, what am I trading? I believe one of the things, you know, you'll notice that verse that talks about that he shall wipe away all tears comes after the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment's in chapter 20 of Revelation. The tear wiping is in chapter 21. I believe when we're standing before God, even those of us who are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we see what we missed out on, when we see how we mistreated God and the opportunity and the things, we see the reward that we could have had, and we see the ones that missed heaven all because we were busy about something else and not doing God's business. We will weep and cry as well.
Come on.
But because we have been redeemed, he will wipe all tears from our eyes. Fire has always been a part of God revealing himself to his people. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, it says, the Lord went before them by a pillar of cloud by day to lead them to lead them the way, and by a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. God showed up by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It is fire that purifies. It is fire that sanctifies. When we have been through the fire, when we have been through the fires of tribulation in our life, it is God burning out the dross. It is God burning out that which does not appeal to him and does not look like him. Glory to God. It is God desiring to shape and mold us in a refiner's fire, as a goldsmith would do. And it's pretty hot in that fire. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, don't you love me? Yes, I do, but I'm making you in my image. Hallelujah. I'm getting that stuff off of you. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm getting that world out. But we get rambunctious. Oh, Lord, I don't like that. That's not pleasant, Lord. I don't like it. Why are you doing this? And he's going to just be quiet. He says, I'm a jealous God. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, Elijah, standing in front of the children of Israel who had been following after Baal. 400 prophets of Baal standing there, one prophet of God. Now, to understand Baalism, it is a religion of wickedness and immorality, mingled with child sacrifice and blood sacrifice, much as we're doing right now in America and have been doing it doing since the decision of Roe v. Wade. We have aborted over 1 million babies per year, and we're close to 50 million unborn children having been killed, all in the name of convenience, all sacrificed on the idol of pleasure, all sacrificed on the idol of selfishness and meism. We have spilled the blood of innocent children.
Yes.
Just like they did in Baal's time. Would to God he would send a prophet as he did to that day. Would to God he would send a man and say, let the God that answered with fire, let him be God. You go ahead and you make your sacrifice. You sing your songs. You do your thing. But when you're through, then it's my turn. Glory to God. Let the God that answered with fire, let him be God. He didn't say the God that answers with water. He didn't say the God that answers with a cloud. He didn't say the God that answers with thunder or lightning. He said, let the God that answers with fire, let him be God.
Yes.
And you know the story how that Elijah drenched the sacrifice with barrels of water, not just once, but twice he did it. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi, there was no earthly way that fire could burn. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And, you know, I've heard them talk about, you know, that they thought that maybe, you know, the worshipers of Baal had a guy that snuck up under sacrifice and he'd light the fire, and they thought that Baal did it and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's another reason why he put the water there. He said, you know what? Can't nobody, they didn't have scuba gear that back then. So couldn't nobody go dive up under there and light that fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God made it impossible. But how many know tonight, this morning, that the thing that's impossible with man is possible with God? There's nothing impossible with him. But we have sold our intellect and we have sold our faith. We bowed our knee to the God of science and the God of reason and the God of logic, so we don't believe God anymore. We've done it. We've done it.
Yes.
We have bowed the knee to the doctor who say, well, it's just not medically possible. It may not be medically possible, but it's heavenly possible.
Oh,
yes. Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, he's all consuming. He's all powerful. He's all glorious. In the book of Acts, chapter 2. Oh, well, in Matthew 3 and 11, John the Baptist speaking said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Hallelujah.
A lot of folks got the Holy Ghost these days, but they don't have any fire.
There's
no fire left. Oh, they can shika, mashika, mashika, but there's no fire. They'll sit there and they'll listen to the world say their stuff. And they don't get bothered by it because they're dignified. They can sit there in a service like today when the Holy Ghost is just moving so powerfully. Hey, and they'll just sit there and say, well, that's quaint, isn't it? That's nice. My Bible says that's having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. God wrote it through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Get away from that stuff. We have bowed the knee to reason. And there's nothing wrong with reason. But sometimes God steps outside of reason. There's nothing wrong with science. All science is like a mechanic figuring out what makes the motor run. He didn't make the motor. He just knows how to fix it. He knows how to work. But he can't make a motor. He ain't a designer. He's not a manufacturer. He's a mechanic.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, just because you can figure what makes an eyeball work don't mean you can make one.
Amen.
Science has done a lot of things, but they've yet to... Oh, they've made synthetic blood and synthetic skin. Real thing. They ain't reached down and got their own dirt that they made from their hands. Hallelujah. They hadn't breathed into something. Hallelujah. Any gaseous substance into the nostrils of something they created out of their its own dirt that they created and made it a living soul. But the God that you serve and the God that I serve picked dirt up out of the ground, breathed into it, and it became eternal. Our God is a consuming fire. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues of fire. He baptized them with the Holy Ghost, and it baptized them with fire.
Yes. Yep.
Hallelujah. That's the reason that Peter, that when Jesus went to the cross, he stood up and he denied him three times before the cock could crow. Hallelujah. And he went running and he hid himself. Even after Jesus forgave him and said, "Feed me, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Then feed my..." He still went up in the upper room and they hid themselves. Didn't say a peep. Didn't preach a sermon. Didn't make a phone call. Didn't get on Facebook. He stayed up there in that upper room. Number one, because Jesus said tarry there. Hallelujah. But they were also afraid. But the same Peter that trembled, hallelujah, on the day of crucifixion, on the day of Pentecost, after he'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, he didn't care if they put him on a cross. He said, "You men of Judah, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Hallelujah. Shikarabba. It's time we got some fire back in the church. We need some fire and Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost, but we ain't got no fire left. We're dignified. We're sanctified, satisfied. We laugh at grandma years ago. Used to run the church. Used to all that. My Lord. But also there were some healings and some demons that went running. Hallelujah. There's some folk that got saved, delivered, set free. When's the last time we've seen somebody get set free by the power of Almighty God? Hallelujah. We need the fire of God to descend upon His Brother Palmer, I want God.
Yes.
I want God. Brother Michael, I want God. I want the Holy Ghost to come. I want the Holy Ghost to take over a service. I want to see the miraculous come and deliver.
Yes.
I want to see demons run. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it will not come until we get hungry for Him. Hungry enough to lay down some food once in a while.
Yes.
Hungry enough to, when we do wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and we know that even if it ain't God, when I'm up, may as well talk to God. Now, if you really think about it, it's our lack of prayer. See, we've been programmed. We think the only place we can really get some good, you know, get down praying is at church.
That's right.
The only place we can really get down and pray like is at church, and you know, in religious settings. That's not so.
Amen.
If we'll think about it, Brother Michael, you did such a wonderful job teaching this morning. I can't help, but my mind goes back to Jesus when He prayed. He got up and He got out of the house, but He got up early in the morning. Brother Palmer, I just believe that when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that wasn't the first time that had happened. That wasn't the first time that occurred. He just was going to have a meeting with God. He decided to bring them along with him. He said, come on with me, let me show you something.
Yes.
I believe that when Jesus prayed, the angels showed up. I believe that the Shekinah glory of God showed up. God communed with His Son. I'm going to tell you, I love this lady over here. She's my beautiful wife. I love coming home and talking to her. I love spending time with her. We spend lots of time together. Talking and sharing. Fellowshipping. Loving each other. I like hearing her voice at night. During the day when we talk, we call one another. When we're feeling good and when we're feeling low. Or we just, honey, how you doing? How's your day going? You know, we pretty much go to lunch with each other every day. Not that we don't like other folks, we just like each other better. Y'all pray for the preacher. She probably going to get mad at me. You tell up business. Well, I just go on and tell you, I've been in other marriages and it wasn't that good. So I'm glad I got a good one. So that's why I brag on it. But you know what? As much as we love each other, I ain't died for her and she ain't died for me. I ain't sent my son to die for her and she ain't sent her daughter to die for me. I think God wants that kind of interaction with us. We're His children. And yes, we have to make ourselves do that. The devil fights it. Worst thing in the world. He fights it because he knows that when you begin to pray and I begin to pray and we begin to fellowship with God. You know, not, oh Lord, here I stand up before Thee today and I bring up before Thee my petitions, oh Lord.
Come on.
You know, and do all the, see all that I do before Thee to gain Thine favor upon Thy servant's life. No. That's that mind and pride praying.
Amen.
But when we get down in the heart and say, Lord, I just want to spend time with You. You know all I have need of. I just want to talk to You. I just want to feel Your presence. I just want to come into Your glory. And I believe when we get hungry for the Lord, when we really and truly get hungry for God, I've been reading, I've shared with, I don't know how many people I shared. Got in trouble over Friday night sharing in a sermon. A brother rebuked me for doing that. I started to book him back, but I said, no, you'll be all right. But I'm reading a book. Yes, your pastor can read. Called The God Chasers. And it's revolutionizing my life and my look, my view. And I'm hungry. It's kind of the food I was looking for because I was already hungry for God.
Yes.
I want more. Brother Michael, I went to Brownsville. I was there several times.
I pastored a church
in Swainsboro, Georgia. We got to the place where the glory of God just began to move.
Yes.
And now here we are in this place and that same Shekinah glory, that same anointing, that same power is moving. It ain't quite to the place it was in Swainsboro. But I'm here to tell you, I'm waiting for the night or the day when I open my eyes and see the Shekinah glory again. I said again. But you see, you have to come to a place and say, Lord, I'm ready to step out of the norm. We want to be in Your presence because we love You. We want to embrace Your presence. We want to embrace Your glory. We want to, and yes, Brother Michael, I'll tell you what, there were some folk down there in Brownsville did some crazy stuff. But you know what? The devil always shows up for church and does some to try to interrupt. There's always, you know, The devil's going to show up. He comes to church every Sunday. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he shows out, I show out and rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Go. I've been in services where the spirit of suicide was so strong on a person, they could not even speak. But because of the power and the anointing of God, by the time that person left that service, they were suicidal no more. Somebody be cool.
Praise the Lord.
But I'm tired of talking about what happened yesterday. I'm tired of remembering what happened years ago. I'm hungry for something now. I want to feel His presence now. I want to enter into His Holy of Holies now. Hallelujah. You know what, brother? Before, don't tell nobody, but before church started, I had a piece of bacon. And probably once I get done here, I'm going to go get some more bacon. I'll probably even have to about 6 o'clock and get some more bacon. And some fried chicken or something to go with it. I come to church Sunday. It was good. Okay, Lord, next week. You ain't hungry. We're not hungry.
That's right.
I'm just talking about our church. I'm talking about the church at large.
Yes.
We're not hungry.
That's right.
There's a verse in the book of Acts where it says, "And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved." I'm gonna slap you Christianity around for you. We talk about the Muslims and the Islamics and the Hindus. Now there's a Hindu temple in Fayetteville, Georgia. There's a Hindu temple. As a copy representative for Toshiba Corporation of America, it was my job to go and solicit business to, no matter what they were. I've taken it upon myself to call upon the temple up there. I think it was a God thing. Well, I walked in there. First thing the guy says, "Now you got to take your shoes off because you're walking on holy ground." I said, "Really?" So, Brother Michael, I took my shoes off. I respected their place of worship. And so he said, "Well, just hang out here while I go get the person, you know, the office manager or whatever." He left me alone in there with all them idols. It was just a room full of little shrines, if you would. Inside that shrine was an idol of some sort. They got over 1,000 of them, I'm told. And I looked around there, just looking. I said, "Which one did they pray to?" You know. But the thing that the thing that got me was, number one, you didn't go in that place. You took your shoes off. You're on holy ground.
Right.
And they come there once a day.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslims, wherever they are, 5 times a day, they turn toward the east, they bow to their knees, and they pray. If you're a good Muslim. You can't get Christians to come to church twice a week.
That's right.
And we're the ones bought with the blood, sanctified. We got the real thing. They just think they got it. They got nothing. They have nothing. It's empty. It's nothing.
When they step
into the eternity, they're stepping into hell. And that demon will be there to greet them, to drag them to hell.
Yes.
But they have devoted themselves 4 and 5 times a day and reverence and devote themselves to worshiping these idols. How much more then? And shouldn't God be jealous? He looks down here and sees these Muslims and all of this mess going on. But them people's devoted. No wonder he's trying to get some of them.
Right.
Teach us Christians something.
My God, listen.
And they will make a pilgrimage to Mecca or a pilgrimage here, wherever in the world they're going. And they're going to nothing. They're going for nothing. Oh, there's a spirit there. There's a demonic force. There's a demonic draw. There's a spirit that pretends itself to be divine, but we know it's not divine because it binds them up. You go to Indonesia, you go to India, and they put cow dung in their hair and all this sort of to try to make themselves holy and humble and all this stuff that they do to try to appease a God. Exist. There's nothing more than a demon. But we Christians, we so-called Christians who've been bought by the blood of Jesus, who hung upon that tree, spread his arms wide, glory to God, and said, beat me and drive the nails in my hands and my feet and pierce me in my side and let me die for you and get up again on the third day, I'll forgive. They have no sense of forgiveness. They have no hope in eternity. They don't know what's going to happen. The Hindu, best thing, he's hoping to come back. Well, am I going to be a dog or am I going to be a frog? Which is going to be? Am I coming back as a cow or am I coming back as a sow? What's it going to be? We have a hope in glory. My God, when we step into eternity to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord on streets of glory, my sins forgiven, my sins forgotten, and my Lord, we can't get to church twice a week. Well, that's mighty pious of you, Pastor. Really? The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Not only that, we can't force ourselves to pray once a day at home.
Amen.
Most of the time. That's why there's no power. God, there's a lot of things, but God ain't stupid.
Amen.
Hello? God sees and God knows what's going on.
Yes.
And He knows what ain't going on either. Our God is a consuming fire. How many of you wives would put up with your husband when not coming home about once a week? You know, if you had a choice. That wouldn't last too long, would it? Wouldn't be no fried chicken waiting on the table when they got there, I guarantee you. It'd be some fry, but it wouldn't be no chicken. So why do we think God deserves less? Why do we think that He deserves our excuses and our reasons and our pettiness? This ain't a matter of convenience. This is a matter of salvation. This is a matter of eternity. If we gave it the importance that it deserves, we would receive the reward.
Yes.
But we don't give it the importance and the significance that He deserves. We come to church if we feel like it. This is not a rebuke. I'm talking to church at large now. People in America, we serve God if we feel like it. If something better comes up on Sunday, we'll go do that. But if ain't nothing else to do, I think I'll go to church. I think I'll serve Him.
Thank you.
What's the end result? I can't apologize for preaching the truth. Kind of like I heard that guy say on that tape this morning. At that inaugural address, he said, I can't apologize for telling you the truth. I apologize if it offends you, but Revelations 3:14, and under the church of the church of the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou were hot, cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Yes.
Because thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, man. Hey, I'm cool. I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We don't have any power over anyone or anybody other than ourselves. We have influence, but we have absolutely no power over anyone else's actions or inactions. But we do have control and power over what we do. And I implore and I invite you to be hungry for Him before the storm comes. Prepare yourself, for the storm is coming. Lest America repent. There's a storm. There's a storm. There's a judgment. And it's going to be harsh.
So we need
to prepare ourselves spiritually. Peradventure, as what happened with Jonah when he went to Nineveh, when he spoke the words, they repented in
sackcloth and ashes.
Peradventure that enough of the church begin to repent and cry out to God, it will affect enough change in the Christian world that it will affect the change in the world at large, and God will stay His hand of judgment. But unless that happens, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is a consuming fire, He will stand up and He will point His finger and He will say unto His angel, go and judge and pour out the vial.
Yes.